in Ephesians 6:10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and have on the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth, and the breastplate of righteousness. You see, we have to remember that just because we are believers, that we need to know that we are battling in a spiritual world. We have no power carnally in the spiritual world. Our human ability, as much as we want to say that we can defeat a demon with guns or punching one or fighting one, we cannot. Trust me, we want to punch a demon, right? We want to punch whatever's messing with our life, that darkness. We want to do it carnally. And that's what gets us in trouble as a people. But we have to understand that in spiritual combat, that us by ourselves going against the superior being of Satan and a superior being of his fallen angels, angelic creatures are infinitely stronger than us, smarter than us, and greater than us alone. We cannot fight them by ourselves. We cannot cope with them. And therefore, God has provided us a wall of fire. And the first item of equipment on that wall of fire is the girdle of truth. Truth. The Bible views the armor of God as very defensive and Satan as very offensive. He is typically the one that is doing the attacking, where we are the ones that are trying to withstand evil. We are the ones that are trying to withstand being attacked. In other words, the tense of the word shows us as we need to be able to, when we are being attacked, to resist the devil so that he will flee. We have to submit ourselves to God first in order to resist the devil, because we can't resist him on our own. We will fall every time to our carnal mind, to our flesh, if we try to do it by ourselves. They are spiritual beings, and we are battling in spiritual warfare. Now, we also have this idea of the spiritual armor, of the breastplate of righteousness. And something that happens when we study righteousness is that the word actually translates into God's integrity and character. That when we know that when our shield of faith doesn't catch all the fiery darts, that our breastplate of righteousness will. So it's God's integrity. That when our faith may be weak or it might fail us at one point, that our integrity, our character that God has built within us will be able to withstand the fiery darts. So what a scholar said, he's like, we are going to see that the breastplate of righteousness has to do with a believer's integrity in the midst of an angelic conflict or spiritual warfare. Remember that in Ephesians 6, we are still dealing with spiritual warfare on a Christian soldier. Therefore, the true biblical principle is that the integrity of God begins with your relationship with God. And without a relationship with God, there is no true integrity within you. There's no such thing as integrity without God. So the first rule is integrity is the spiritual strength to put into operation that which you claim to believe. Now, if we claim to believe in God and his righteousness, that means that when we are angry at someone, someone cuts you off or attempts to hurt you, or, you know, therefore we have to turn the other cheek. Man, that's rough. I remember being so ticked off at someone, I could have fought him right there, but that's not God's character. That is not God's righteousness. But in my own righteousness, I want to fight someone. In my flesh, I want to fight someone. But it's not God's character. And probably if we were to go forth with that, fighting someone or getting into an altercation verbally with someone, cursing at them, we would probably feel pretty bad as Christians afterward. Our conviction would take over. And I'm sure we've all experienced that, where, wow, I was not a good Christian. I could have probably dealt with that situation a little bit better. I did not have the righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness on. And the only way I get that is through the relationship I have with God. Integrity also means conforming to a certain standards of rights. Because righteousness means, God's righteousness means, in the right. God is right. Righteousness. Thirdly, integrity is the quality of life and power needed to live, because integrity gives the believer capacity to act and to perform properly, to perform rightly under extreme circumstances, because we are not battling in flesh and blood. We are battling spiritual warfare. Why do you think Satan knows how to deal with our flesh? He knows how to push our buttons. He wants to see the reaction of our flesh and if we will give in to it. And that's where integrity takes place, in the breastplate of righteousness. If I can withstand from reacting fleshly, then my integrity is being proven to God. Motivational integrity, which is personal love towards God, or functional integrity, which is unconditional love towards all mankind. Unconditional love towards all mankind. Integrity is for a man to know what is good and what is evil, what is useless, what is shameful and dishonorable, and what is godly. Integrity, the breastplate of righteousness. The Romans define integrity as devotion and loyalty, especially to your family, to what you believe in. Loyalty was key to possessing integrity. Loyalty. Am I loyal? Am I faithful to my God? Do I pray? Do I read His word? Can I do more? Am I loyal to the house of God? Am I loyal in just simple things that the Bible commands us in doing, paying tithes? Am I loyal to that? A believer who pursues his own righteousness and loyalty and his own faith will find that his righteousness is not good enough. His righteousness will fail every time. His righteousness is without God, because your own righteousness has to deal with one of the seven deadly sins, which is the most powerful one, is pride. If I go off my own righteousness, then I am going off of pride. And I cannot be prideful in a world today. We are going to be tested. Our buttons are going to be pushed. The world knows what to do to the church to make us react. And our righteousness, our breastplate of righteousness through God, we cannot react to what the world is doing to us. We can only love mankind. In John 8:28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. As He spake those things, many believe on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth. The quality of being true. That which is true according to fact and reality. The information provided is truth. The information that is provided is factual. It cannot be manipulated in a way to where it can be a lie. This is the only thing that the dictionary actually says about truth. The problem is that philosophers and people with doctorate degrees and they try to think about truth, absolute truth. It's very mind-boggling to them. And the reason why it's mind-boggling to them is because truth had to come from somewhere. And in this world today, people are seeking for truth. Scientifically, they seek for truth. They've come up with a complete crazy theory of evolution, Big Bang theory, things like that. They are searching for truth. But philosophers have had to come up with these three principles. The first and most basic question is, where did truth come from? It has to have an origin or truth cannot exist. The simple expression of truth cannot stand by itself, but it must come from an all-knowing divine being. Information cannot create information. In other words, information is not God by itself. It had to have come from somewhere. The second point is this: if this being does not know all truth, then it can be lied to. It must know all truths and be the foundation of truth in order not to fall to any lie. It must know all secrets of the world. There are no theories in truth. There is no Big Bang theory. There is no creation theory. There is no evolution theory. It must know the absolute knowledge of every secret, of every creation, of every object, truth. It has to know everything about everything. Rule number three, in order for truth to exist, means this being with all knowledge and power must be the only one in existence. There cannot be multiple truths about origin or existence or purpose on this earth. This is coming from philosophers. This is what man had to come up with in order to understand where truth came from. Some of these people are atheists, but they all agree on the same thing. Truth has to have come from somewhere. Information about this world had to have come from somewhere. Well, the Bible answers them. The Bible's definition of truth is this: all-knowing, past, present, and future. If a thought, phrase, or statement is not true, it is essentially the lack of knowledge. The answer to the observations of the scholars is this: Isaiah 41:4, who hath wrought and done it, calling to generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, the first and the last, I am he. 43:10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants who I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, and the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. And beside me there is no God. Fear not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee that time, and I have declared it? Ye are even my witness. There is no God beside me. Yea, there is no God beside me. I know not any. There is one God, and everything that we know and everything that we proclaim comes from that one God who is truth. God is truth. A CEO of a Fortune 500 company was asked this. One of the richest companies one of the 500 richest companies in the world. What is the most successful thing in business, and what is the most destructive thing in business? He simply replied to the first one, telling the truth. Try not to scam anyone, because once you scam in a Fortune 500 company, word gets out pretty quick. Tell the truth. Be upfront. Don't hide anything. That is the most successful thing that you can do in a Fortune 500 company. What is the most destructive thing that you could do? He simply answered this: lying. If you lie, your company sinks, because who you lied to has a mouth, and they will talk that you lied to them, that you pulled one over on them. Lying. That's from a CEO. By the way, the CEO is an atheist. Falsehoods. is simply an untrue statement, a lie, the practicing of lying, lack of conformity to the truth or fact, inaccuracy. This is my personal favorite one, by the way, which is considered lying, and we all do it because I do it. Deliberately not giving all the information. Come on. Deliberately not giving all the information or giving current and up-to-date information. Yeah, we all do that one. Why do we do it? To protect ourselves. We don't want to get in trouble. Why does anybody lie? To protect ourselves. How many times have we lied to protect ourselves? I remember getting really bad report card grades, and I could not bring them home to my mom. So I cut out someone who had really good grades, their thing, and I pasted it over my grades, because if you ever see it, it's columned. And then I would copy it, send it through the copy machine, so it looked like, you know, you couldn't see the paste marks. And man, I had like a 3.8. It was great, when really I was a 2.0. Just enough to play football. And, you know, unfortunately, the last report card they mail. So I had no control over it. My mom went out to the mailbox, pulled out my report card, and was like, "This is a lie. I'm going down to your school and this and that." And I'm like, she calls me up and she tells me, she's like so mad at the school. And I'm like, "Mom, come home. Don't go to the school. You're going to embarrass yourself because I lied. I made a fake report card. I got it when I got home. You get beaten when you get caught in a lie." But that lie went on for the entire school year, 180 days or something. I think that's a school year. I haven't been in school in 10 years, so. All right, 180 days of lying. But it started off as a simple, small little lie. How many times have we said a simple, small little lie? And then all of a sudden you get caught in that small little lie. And now you have to make a bigger lie to cover up the smaller lie. It's evolution. I have to evolve my lie to become bigger and better. And then I have to remember the lie, because when I get questioned into that lie, and I'm like, "Wait, what did I tell you? What did I say? Yeah, that's right. That's right. No, yeah, I think. Good." We've all done that before. We have lied, we've had to create another lie to cover that lie, and eventually we get busted with the truth when all we had to do was tell the truth to begin with, taking the consequences for that day or two, and it would have been that easy. A truth never has to evolve itself. It never has to explain itself. It is truth. It stands by itself. But a lie is so terrible. Proverbs 12:22, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight." Don't we want to delight in the Lord? Don't we want to be his delight? We'll start telling the truth, start living in truth. Proverbs 14:5, "A faithful witness will not lie." If you are faithful to God and you are a faithful witness, you will not lie. But a false witness will utter lies. He will utter lies. He will deceive you. And there's false witnesses within the church. The Bible speaks about them. The wolves in sheep's clothing, the ones that want to split and deceive. Please do not be misled by these wolves. We live in a world today that is influenced by multi-million dollar industry. They tell you what music to listen to, degrading women, greed, violence, sexual pleasures, and homoerotic fantasies. This is the new end. Dishonoring your parents, believing in lies, and hating the truth. What you should wear, defacing the image of holiness and modesty. Pants and skirts and shirts and shorts, they've all become tighter and shorter, exposing more and more of the female and male figure. This isn't modesty, it's a lie. Look back just 30 years ago about how people dressed. And see how far we have strayed from even that time period. Holiness and modesty is being destroyed, generation after generation of media gatewaying to tell you what is pretty and what is accepted in today's standards and what is on the foundation of a lie. And if we buy into this lie and we make it our own truth, then we become lost. And we become decepted and deceived. And it even says that God will send strong delusions unto his own people. If we begin to buy into a lie and we begin to believe in a lie. The devil has run rampant across this world, influencing you by media gateway, lie after lie after lie. It's all a lie in order to get to our souls and to strip away our innocence as God's people. Because that's what we have. We have innocence. We have God's righteousness. We have the Holy Ghost that dwells within us. We need to be holy and separate from the world while living in the world. We have to find a way to reach a world without becoming part of it. What good is to gain the whole world if you lose your soul? What good is it to believe in a lie and to lie to ourselves and say that this is okay? I can repent later in life. And I live for God. And when I become older and more mature, maybe when I have a family, I'll start to live for God again. What good is that? It's a mentality of a lot of people. When I have a family, when I grow up, let me live my life now. Let me party now. That's the youth of this nation. And maybe when I have a family and things matter, I'll start having a prayer life. I'll start getting into church. And they wonder why their kids did the same thing that they did. It's all a lie. Genesis 2:16. It was a lie that took down the first of us. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle, which is crafty. He's a crafty one. Than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Ye hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." So he's challenging, obviously, the authority of God. That's what a lie does. And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of every fruit and every tree of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now watch what Satan does. And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." And we know what happened there. The truth was challenged by a lie. And that's how the conception of doubt gets into our minds. How many of us doubted people after you found out about a lie? Doubts. Speculation. It is the most horrid thing in the kingdom of God when you have to speculate your brother and sister, when you have to doubt your brother and sister. Because maybe they gossiped about you, maybe they told a lie about you, maybe they did something that you didn't like, and they were just spreading bad things about you. It is terrible in the kingdom of God. We should be lifting each other up. That is the truth. We should lift up our brothers and sisters in prayer. We should only speak good of them. And when they fall, and they fall into sin, we should only support them with love, because that's what God would want. They would not condemn, for he has not come to condemn, but to give life, and that life more abundantly. He's here to redeem, not take away your life, but to give you new life, to become a new creature. And the lie was simple. Adam, the lie was so simple. It was simply, "Don't eat of the tree," from the truth himself. And it was simply, "Eat of the tree, you won't die," from a serpent. What are we believing today? Who are we believing today? Adam and Eve walked and talked with truth himself. And it took a simple false statement from a serpent in the garden. The command was simple: do not partake of the tree. And the lie was just as simple: you surely won't die. Notice the challenge in someone's life who doesn't know all knowledge. And we have to trust God. with all knowledge. And we have to trust that he knows all things. But within our carnal minds, when someone challenges truth, within someone, a being that doesn't know all truth, and truth is challenged within us, why is there such a conflict? Why? It happened with Adam. There was a conflict there. It happened with Eve. There was a conflict there. Even though the provider, God, told them not to, they still did. Because they didn't listen to the voice of truth. And that the lie began to develop into a lifestyle of sin. Come with me and party with me. Surely you will not die. Come and drink with me. You surely won't die. Come have sex with me. You surely will not die. Come abandon holiness, abandon righteousness, abandon feeling of conviction, abandon truth. I promise you, you will not die. You cannot tell me this world is not partaking of the same fruit that Adam and Eve partook of, even today. Satan is doing the same thing from the beginning. You won't die if you live in sin. You will not die if you have premarital sex. You will not die if you just live with me and take my hand. John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. John even says it plain as day that carnally we are lustful, and that we will do what our father, the devil, wants us to do in the flesh. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and a father of all lies. When we are tangled in lie after lie, we lose a sense of who we are. We begin to die inside. Anyone in here a habitual liar, or you just lie all the time, or maybe at one point in your life you lied all the time? I did. Ask Sean. It was awesome. I was a great liar. I could look at you straight in the eyes and lie to you. Who here else was? Maybe in a different lifetime. Okay, I guess. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. One. Okay, there we go. I was a liar. I lied to make myself feel more comfortable, to maybe build my ego, to do whatever it was that I needed to, for the lie to accomplish, because that's what the lie does. It has to accomplish something. When Judas walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, he walked with truth. But he had this lie that was embedded in him, which was greed. And we all know that for the love of money, or when we love money more than God, it's the root of all evil. But the thing is if you don't love money and you are a good steward of money, it will give you all things. It will give you everything in this world, except for love and normal spiritual stuff. But it answers all things. But when you love it, it is the root of all evil. And that's what Judas's problem was. He still had this thing inside him. That was a lie, greed. And when he went to Judas, or when he went to Jesus, he kissed him. He kissed him with something that, when you kiss a man, that's something that's not practiced anymore unless it's with family. Kissing another man on the cheek. What? But it was a sign of intimacy to a brother. He kissed him on the cheek. The soldiers came and got him, and one of the biggest lies that Judas fell into wasn't just the greed lie. It was when he determined in himself that he could not be saved. That God's grace on the cross could not save him. And he never saw the salvation that he could have had, because he ended his own life before seeing the Lamb slain on the cross. Before seeing salvation of his own life. And it's one of the saddest things that we see every single day. Last year in Royal Palm Beach High School, 4 kids committed suicide and 3 were killed in car accidents. That's one high school. I don't know what the stats are at the other ones. They will never see the grace of God. They will never see the blood that was flown from Calvary, because they gave in. They threw in the towel. And this is what happens Because God is molding us and he's shaping us. He has the potter's hands. And what was in the land that was purchased with his money was called the potter's field. And the potter's field is where they put all broken pots, pots that cannot be saved. I find it kind of ironic that this is where he went. Because this is when he committed, where he died and he committed suicide, he went to where broken pots were, when we are symbolically known as being pots being formed. It's just terrible that he believed in a lie so powerful that he could not be saved. Because Peter lied too. Were you with Jesus? Aren't you one of the disciples that was with Jesus? No, 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 I wasn't. I'm not Peter. I'm not that person. Don't persecute me. And he walked away, and another crowd member, weren't you with Jesus? You're one of the disciples. You're a loudmouth. No, 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 that wasn't me. Get away from me. And I wonder how much pain he actually felt when the third time in the cock crew and he started cussing at the people. I don't know what he said, but I'm sure it was pretty good. No, no, I'm not. Blankety blank. No, no, no. And then he caught eye contact with Jesus. And he began to sob and cry on the steps. But Peter didn't end his life. He probably could have. He probably had the same exact feelings that Judas had at the time. He betrayed Christ, and Christ gave him eye contact to let him know, I know. Don't you love that? I know, I know. When we get that eye contact, that information feedback. But he felt the same feelings, but he held out for some reason. He held out. And he finds Jesus in the Sea of Tiberias. And Jesus gets with him, and they're around a fire. And he says, when thou had finished eating, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he replied, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus asked Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And a third time he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt by this. Because he felt that Jesus didn't believe him. And he said, you know all things. You know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. I find it ironic that it was three I love yous and three denials for the redemption of Peter. And I believe that he would never preach Acts 2:38 until he felt the feelings that he felt. When he felt being ashamed and he felt that, wow, I really disappointed the one that I loved. I really hurt the one that I loved. He was right this whole time. How many of us have ever felt that way when we were caught in a lie? I will never do that again to hurt the person that I love most. And I will live as a better man, and I will live as a better woman, and I'll live as a better person because I don't want this feeling anymore. And he did, and he... The one who denied Christ, the other disciples were fine. They didn't deny Christ, but the one who denied Christ was the one who stood up in the midst of a crowd and preached Acts 2:38 and preached truth and doctrine. And the Spirit was born in 3,000 people, all because he failed and he learned from his failure, unlike Judas. Did you know that every time you lie, you birth Satan within that relationship? And I have to hurry. Every time we lie, Satan is birthed within that relationship. Every time something comes out of your mouth, the father of lies is wrapped in a cloak into that relationship. You just gave him room to be within the relationship that you have with other people, which is the most important thing that we have, is one another. Is a relationship with one another. And when we birth a lie, we birth Satan within that relationship. Now he can manipulate. He can cause all kinds of havoc And the one thing that he wants most is to expose the lie to the other person. That way he can use his most strong weapon, doubting one another, doubting the man of God in your life, doubting the church. And if he can get you to doubt, he can isolate you. And if he can get you to feel hurt, and he can get you to be deceived and to believe in this lie, and this lie will conceive itself within you, Satan can destroy people. He has destroyed people. I know people who have left a church who I love dearly because they believed in a lie. It happens every day. I've seen churches split because they believed in a lie. And you can't tell me that Satan is not in that lie. It's his purpose. It's what he wants to do. Acts 5:3. But Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" Why did you allow Satan to fill your heart to lie? You allow Satan to access your family, your friendships, and most importantly, your relationship with God. So how do I defeat a lie? It's easy. Just tell the truth. No matter how painful or hurtful it might be, you tell the truth. You live in truth. How did Jesus defeat Satan? Matthew 4 says, Then was Jesus led up with the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days, there's the first part, fasting and prayer. When he had fasted for 40 days, okay, he was able to take on the temptations of Satan. He afterward hungered. And then the tempter came to him. He said, "If thou that be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And he answered and said, It is written. That's the next one. Get in your word. The only thing that defeats Satan is the sword of God. The word of God. Using biblical truths. Because it's the only thing that will stand up to the power of the lie of Satan. "Turn these stones that they be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up to the holy city to sit on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he give his angels charge concerning thee, in their hands they shall bear up thee. Or thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, which is also a great one in scripture. "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." You shall not tempt me. I am the Lord thy God. You shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto them, "All these things I give thee, and wilt fall down and worship me." And Jesus exposed his lie again. And he said, "For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt I serve." If we could all stand. Then the devil leadeth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. How do we defeat Satan? We take on the whole armor of God. We take on the truth, the girdle that all the armor is attached to. Lord Jesus, right now, if we could all just pray. Lord, I do not want to fall to a lie, Lord. And if I have ever been lied to, and I ever had doubt in someone, I forgive them. Right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I forgive them of any pain or hurt or wrongdoing that has ever happened in my life. I want to believe in the truth that God's blood that flows over me can also flow over that person who lied or hurt me. Oh, mighty God, we love you, we worship you, we praise you, Lord, that we would pray, that we would fast and we would get into the word of God, because that is the only way we would be able to withstand and stand strong to Satan's active pursuit against us. That I don't want to fall to his sin. I don't want to fall to his lies. I don't want to fall to him. Oh, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. We worship you, we praise you, we exalt you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.